20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretz, joined always by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on?
Man, reading about Packers practice. Wish I was there. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, the coverage from our team and from Cheesehead TV so far has been awesome. And for people like us that are not there and don't have the opportunity to be there, it's amazing to see the coverage that we have. And it's really, really exciting, too.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, normally I would say the play-by-play of training camp is not super fun. But I don't know. I've had a really good time this year just, like, reading all this stuff. And I think it's, you know, new offense.
Yeah.
All this kind of new stuff that we haven't seen, all these wrinkles. And we'll actually jump into that a little bit later with, you know, fullbacks and spread offenses and all this kind of stuff. That it's really interesting to see how it all goes and see how the Matt LaFleur era begins in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's super exciting, too, because I think the past few years it's kind of been like, oh, same old, we know what's going to happen, how it's going to go. And this year it's like everything is new. There's new things going on and it's just really exciting. And I love reading about it and seeing videos, and it's just been really, really cool to see all the new stuff that's been going on.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I think Dusty and I don't even know if we were talking about it, but I remember discussing the music that was played. And we ended up talking about like the songs that should have been played during training. Like, it was ridiculous. So
yeah,
it's a lot more fun to talk about actual football content now. So, and then on that note, the Packers actually made a move today, and they have claimed Marcus Jones off waivers from the Ravens. He was an undrafted free agent, and for their corresponding move, have released cornerback Javion Hamilton, who was waived with an injured hamstring. So we've got a new defensive end slash linebacker to throw in that room. Kind of see if he sticks, but everything I've slightly read about him since we found this out, and looks like somebody who's pretty talented. I mean, he was a D2 player, but 2 years in a row, one player of the year.
Yeah, and he had just his last season as well, 15 sacks and 36 and a half tackles for loss. That's from Ben Fennell over at The Athletic that had those stats, which is, D2, but still, like, that's really good season.
One of the best in D2, you're probably a pretty good D1 player.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he is. Definitely. I mean, like you said, like, it's kind of a see if something shakes. If it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Kind of a back of the rotation guy. But this is kind of who we talked, what you've talked about a lot. I know, Steve, one of your points of emphasis has been the roster building of Gutekunst. He's not sitting still. He's not doing stuff. He saw a guy get released. Maybe there's something to that guy. Maybe there's not. But kind of this constant churn at the bottom of the roster is something that we're not overly used to. So it's kind of cool to see that.
Yeah, and I think, kind of seconding what you guys already said, but I think it's great to just have different guys in there. You never know who's going to challenge who's going to step up and surprise you. So to have that kind of suspense factor in there, I think just brings more of a competitive nature to the table. And, you know, players are able to compete. They're not maybe seeing the same players that they're used to all the time. So it's just really, it's different, but I kind of like it.
Keeping on the defensive side of the ball, our second first round draft pick, Savage, was back on the field today. He got put in right away with the ones. So, I mean, he's sitting back there with Adrian Amos, Raven Green, who had been in that spot, got moved into that hybrid linebacker, and Josh Jones, who's still on the team apparently, got moved over to the sidelines. So that's how they started with the ones. I mean, they all kind of moved around a little bit because they were easing Savage back in. But it's exciting that they're not messing around. I mean, normally, even in the Mike McCarthy era, they would have first-round draft picks that would start with the threes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it just, no, this is our, you know, this is their guy. This is who they wanted. They went up and got him, and he's starting, which I love.
Yeah, like you said, they traded up for him. Then we know why Savage is drafted. We talked about this before, and that, like, I think a lot of the Packers draft this past year was for looking forward, looking a year or two down the line, looking at guys who are like going to leave, those replacements. But Savage was like day one starter. You could clearly see that. And so to see him out there, yeah, it's exciting. Sounds like he was limited, which you would expect. You know, this is his first practice. One of my favorite things, you get those injury reports, and this one says it's Darnell Savage Jr. teeth. That it can normally you see like knee, hamstring. This is teeth. His teeth were bothering him. Now he's back in. So that killed me. But yeah, it's exciting to have him out there.
Yeah, it's really cool to kind of, with the Packers draft picks, kind of shifting back to last year, I think we saw with Alexander as well, there was just so much excitement around him coming in early and making an impact right away. And I, as a fan, loved watching that. It was super exciting to see a guy like him get in there, make a difference, make plays. And I think the same thing's kind of happening now for Savage this year. He's a guy that has been praised by a lot of his teammates, and now he's going to come in and looks like make an impact right away. So I love seeing that. I love new players that can come in and make an impact right away, straight from college. And I think it's really important, and it's something that we're going to start seeing each year in the draft as well.
Packers injury report came out for the day. Actually, it's kind of funny. So I was a little shocked because Ryan Wood put this out, and it said 9 Packers out. And the first thing I saw, I didn't look closely, and it said 9 Packers. I thought it said 9 Packers cut. I was like, wow, that's a bit early for that, but okay. And then the first name on there was Mason Crosby. I'm like, wow, that is bold. But it's just the injured list, guys. So everybody relax. They didn't cut all these guys. But, I mean, it's more than you'd want right away in the beginning of training camp. You've got Mason Crosby with a calf, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones with hamstrings, Josh Jackson with a foot, Javian Hamilton with the hamstring, and then he got cut, Kendall Donerson, Greg Roberts, Jason Spriggs, Fadol Brown, and then Darnell Savage with the teeth returned.
With the teeth.
Teeth.
I mean, I know it's always
teeth. Lady Gaga. No, you guys don't listen to Lady Gaga's teeth.
No.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's Are you a monster or whatever she calls your fans?
I'm not, but I am a fairly big Lady Gaga fan. So
I respect it.
Yeah.
She's got some bops.
She does have some bops, Sarah. That's correct.
Out on the golf course, one of the best playlists I had going was the Spotify 90s pop, like boy band music. That was good. Had some jams coming out of there, and then it kind of mixed in with the 2000s, and there was some Gaga on it, so
it was working. All right, so we're all on the same page here. All on the same page. That's exciting. All right.
Any of these injuries stand out to you guys? Like, is there anything – I mean, it's still training camp, but is it something that worries you?
For me, the only thing I saw additional explanation on was Aaron Jones that said they're just being cautious. So I would imagine if this was game week, it's probably like maybe a little tightness. He probably plays through it, maybe sits for a bit. The other ones, I don't know. It is concerning to see that many guys, but what I will say is that no one's been seriously injured yet. There's been no broken bones. There's been no blown knees, which we've seen already. So that's good, but it's, I mean... This really in practice.
You, be knocking on wood.
I thought that was your daughter. it's less than ideal. I'll say it's less than ideal, but none of it seems overly serious as near as I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more I can really say about that. With Aaron Jones, that was the one that my eyebrows really raised for a second. Like, whoa, what happened? Because it kind of, I'd heard a little bit. He had gone down and grabbed his leg or something from the other day. But it seems like you said, Dusty, that that's kind of just to be safe. And then right now, the injuries that are occurring are minor, again, knock on wood. So nothing seems too crazy right now. Hopefully it stays that way through preseason and then into the season as well.
We'll move on. Josh Jones made the news all over the Twitter world today because Matt LaFleur started flexing his muscles a little bit and kicked him out of practice. After he kind of had was they called it a scuffle. We kind of, I don't know, it seems to be overplayed a little bit, but he tackled Trey Carson to the ground from what we found out, Trey Carson kind of had gone after Tony Brown. Is that right, Dusty?
Yeah.
Okay. So they, you know, standing up for his teammate and then gets kicked out of practice. But I think you look at it as LaFleur, like, even commented in his press conference, you know, it was a little bit hard for him to see all the entire play from where he was at. So from what he saw, it was just Josh Jones going after him, and he doesn't want that in his practice. And I was, you know, he's just putting it out there. This is the kind of camp I want to run. This is the kind of team I want to have, and we're not going to be getting into fights with each other and things like that. So I kind of liked it. Like, I know he may have been technically wrong, but I'm kind of cool with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's the I think the interesting thing to me is that it wasn't that long ago that Josh Jones was saying he didn't want to be in Green Bay. He wanted a trade. It was this. I mean, Sarah, just last week, I think you said, like, he showed up to practice and you were like, I was legitimately, like, I think you said, if I remember correctly, you were almost as shocked that Josh Jones showed up for practice as you were that the Packers dropped Mike Daniels. Like,
yeah,
that was a level of surprise a week ago. And so now to see him out there, like, what it appears to be sticking up for teammates and kind of going after that shows kind of a passion and a fire that even if he doesn't want to be there, he's still going to play. He's still going to play hard, and he still has his teammates' backs. Like, it's not, and we kind of talked about this before. Like, I think I can see Josh Jones's point, and I kind of like that. And I can also like LaFleur kind of taking a hard line. So it's both sides. I can see the points on both of them. But the Jones stuff specifically, I was very, I don't know. It was kind of encouraging to see that he's not just going to be like very listless and like, I don't care. I don't even want to play here. I'm not going to do this. To kind of see him do that was, I thought, kind of cool. The one thing I will say is, like, every report I saw on it, it seemed a big emphasis on the fact that he was standing on the sideline with his arms crossed, as if it was some like silent defiance. Dude doesn't have pockets, man. If I don't have pockets, I also have, like, you can do the move where you hold on to like the neck, like as you always see these guys do. And I can't imagine doing that for a long period of time. So yeah, he's got his arms crossed, but he also doesn't have pockets. So like,
and imagine if he would have put his hands behind his head, he would have been acting too nonchalantly.
Yeah,
That would have been talking about that, like he didn't care about the team.
Yeah, it would have been read into negatively in some way.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy right now that when stuff like this happens, people's eyes are going to be on him. They're going to be quick to judge, quick to assume that he's acting a certain way when in reality he probably isn't. And he was just standing there and he happened to have his arms crossed. With the whole incident that happened, I do see both sides of it. I like that he was competitive and that they were getting fired up. But I also see the side that as a coach, you want to make sure everything's in check in your practices. So, and he's new coach, so he wants to set the tone early. So I do understand that. But I do think that right now in his situation, people also could be quick to judge him and any little thing that he may or may not do.
Well, that brings us to the worst part of the podcast. I have to digress. This is not fun for me or anything like that. This is the part where we make Dusty look super, super smart because he knows so much about the playbook, and I freaking hate it, but whatever. I digress. He's going to look smarter than me and Sarah, but he knows so much about this stuff that we have to talk about it. We have to pick his brain for it. So you tell us a little bit about what you saw, what you've heard about the fullback usage, because it seems like this is going to, from what we've read, what we've heard, this is going to be a lot bigger part to their offense than we thought.
Yeah, which we kind of, I mean, it was kind of thought, you know, once LaFleur kind of came over, Vitaly was here last year, and it was kind of a, the way that, you know, Shanahan had used fullbacks and the way LaFleur had kind of liked to use that and that whole coaching tree kind of liked to do that. You kind of see, especially Vitaly's, his background, his kind of skill set as kind of more of a receiving guy, you know, a fullback in that he can block, but less a running threat and more of a passing threat. And we didn't really see much of that last year because it's Mike McCarthy and Mike McCarthy, and it was a fullback. Fullbacks do two things. They block, and they also use, like, one-yard dives. It's basically the two things that fullbacks do. I had been, for the past few years, pretty anti-fullback. It's not anti-fullback. I think I turned so much love for Kuhn in the twilight of Kuhn, and then also for Ripkowski, who did nothing except fumble in a big playoff game inside the five-yard line, that I kind of turned against all the fullback love. And you never hear anyone talk about William Henderson. Talk about William Henderson, because that dude was legitimately good.
I love Big Willie.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. So, yeah, I mean, we kind of assumed that Vitaly was going to do some. And then all the stories out of camp and practice have been every day there's been something about Vitaly. And one thing really stuck out to me. I think this was from Nagler today.
And he described, just call him the muscle man instead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, super handsome. Super handsome and just ripped. Jacked. Just absolutely.
Yeah, ripped. He is massive.
Yeah. And so you get a guy like that who looks like a traditional fullback, just a big stout brick wall of a man that can block. But then you've got things like this. Nagler described this play as Rodgers sends Vitaly out wide left. I assume that's pre-snap. And then Rodgers hits Graham up the seam for a first down. So, I mean, what you could do with a guy like Vitaly and what we've seen, you know, Shanahan do and what we're going to see this year is a lot of when you have a guy, and I talk about this a ton, when you have a guy like Vitaly who can legitimately block as a lead fullback or is also a threat enough that if you split him out, you have to account for him in the passing game, that unlocks a ton. The versatility in the offense is just insane because what you can do, again, I view a lot of offense through, if you go no huddle, how does that package look? What can you do with the pieces you have there? And such a huge thing and why the Patriots were so successful under Gronkowski is if you've got the pieces in place where you can legitimately in one package go from power run to spread offense, you can just pick the mismatches. You can either just go and if you've got just smaller players on the field, then you just run down their throats. And then if you don't, if you've got like a whole bunch of big guys, then you just throw around them. And the Packers, especially in Vitaly, kind of have those pieces where they've got a guy who, when he's in there, legit threat as a blocking fullback, legit power rushing threat, except if you load up against the power run, they'll just spread you out. And they have the pieces to do that. You know, between Lewis and then, you know, say Tanyan to some extent and the receivers, they could go with a heavy look and still spread you out. Vitaly's a huge, huge part of that. So, I mean, being able to get, say, a package of Vitaly, Jones, Tanyan, Adams, MVS out there is just, like, the things you can do with that is remarkably insane. That was all my hope heading into this season. Then seeing all this in practice, that not only are they running this stuff, but it seems to be working. They have these ideas of what to do with Vitaly, and it is actually working like you kind of hoped it would. It's very, very exciting. So I've gone very quickly from anti-fullback to holy crap, Danny Vitaly may legitimately be the key to unlocking what this offense, like the full power of this offense. So really exciting to see all that because I've been dreaming on it for the past year.
Bigger question. Are you now going to be getting a Vitaly jersey?
Nah. It's a fullback, Steve.
All this love you just praised upon the man. And, he's a fullback.
No, I got I used to not buy jerseys of current players because they leave and it breaks my heart. I bought a Kenny Clark jersey in the offseason. So I figure they'll probably lock him up soon. He's going to be around for a while, and I love that man. So and actually I have a Jair Alexander one as well, but that's more because my son's name is Alexander.
That's cool. Yeah. So then have it like on. Gotcha.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
I gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm hyped to have Vitaly whether or not I'm going to buy his jersey.
Sarah, are you a jersey person?
It depends. I have a couple jerseys. I have a Rodgers jersey. I have a Jordy Nelson jersey.
You're a girl, so that does make sense. I feel like the Jordy jerseys are a lot more female oriented than they are male.
Yeah, so that was my first Packers jersey that I got, and so when I tore my ACL in high school, I had like just come back to playing and being normal again, and then Jordy tore his ACL. So it was kind of like I was like closely following, and then after he came back and he like won comeback player of the year, then I got it because I was like, I have to do this now. Like, so finally. But I have a lot of shirts that say like players' names on the back.
Jerseys.
Yeah, because I'm like, they're just so expensive. Yeah. It's so expensive to get a jersey. And for me, like wearing something to class, I can't. It's easier to just wear like a t-shirt instead of a jersey if I go to class.
What about you, Steve? You a jersey?
Not as much anymore. They're expensive. The only ones I ever get normally are the knockoff Chinese brand ones because I can't stomach paying $100 for a jersey that I'll wear like 16 times a year. Well, hopefully longer than that. Hopefully more than 16 times in 1 year. But I can't remember the last one I've got though.
What's your go to? Like, do you have one you wear that for game day?
I've got one that I wore. I've got a Rodgers away jersey. But it's so old, it's a Reebok one.
Oh, nice.
I wore it when they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of if I really feel the Packers need to win, I have to throw that one on. Weird superstitious guy. And then I won't wear the same jersey two times in a row if they lose. Because apparently the shirt that I'm wearing has something to do with the Packers winning or losing.
I was going to laugh at you, but I legitimately had a 2-year span where I was every time I wore Packers stuff on game day, they lost. And so I just didn't wear Packers stuff on game day for like 2 years.
That was legit. Mine was, I have a bandana. Well, my dog has a bandana that he wears when the Packers play. And so my dog lives with my parents back at home. So in high school, there's this one year where if he did not have the bandana on, they would legitimately lose every single time. And so I remember I'd be away at soccer tournaments and I'd be with my mom or my dad, and one of them would be home then with the dog. And I would legitimately text them and be like,
send me a picture of the dog.
Make sure that the dog is wearing the bandana. Because if I wasn't there to put the bandana on, then I didn't know if someone was going
to. I can't be the reason. I can't be the reason.
Yeah, it's literally, I was like, please, like, you have to put the bandana on.
If you ever loved me.
So that was the thing. It wasn't anything that I wore, but it was that my dog legitimately had this bandana on.
All right, well, it's good to know I'm not the only crazy person. I like that.
I assume we're all crazy.
About stuff like that. Yeah, I'm very superstitious with sports and pregame rituals and all that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this. Leroy Butler came out and tweeted. Apparently, he's a big fan of Kevin King. He is saying as long as he stays healthy, no one in the league has the combination of size and speed, and that he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year, and that the Packers will have a top 10 defense. Some bold comments coming out of actually, I think he's based out of Milwaukee right now on one of the sports stations. So what are your thoughts? I mean, that's bold stuff for a guy who hasn't stayed healthy his entire career.
Well, I've been hyping up Kevin King for a while. I'm like, as long as he can stay healthy, he is always one of the best guys that's on the field. His thing is just he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And when he has, and when he's in the game, he's so, so good. So, yeah, I agree that if he can stay healthy, I think he can be that player that Butler is saying that he can be. Whether the Packers have a top 10 defense, we'll see. I hope that they have a top 10 defense. I know we talked about last week how this could really be the first time in a long time that Rodgers has had a much better defense, and that he doesn't have to, him and the offense don't have to put up 30 points a game to win a game. So I would love to see the Packers have a top 10 defense that, you know, can help them win games and can help out Rodgers and the offense. But we'll see. I really, really hope, but I just don't know right now.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, and I think the big kicker there in Butler's thing is if he can stay healthy, because that's the question. I mean, Sarah's absolutely right. Like when he's on the field, there's no denying his talent. There's no denying what we've seen him do, what he can do. And that's just, it seems like it's just scratching the surface. I mean, I watched that dude run down Julio Jones on a drag route. Julio Jones running full speed on a drag route that Kevin King ran down and knocked the ball away. Like there's not guys in the league that can do that. So yeah, if he can stay healthy, game changer for the defense, absolutely insane. The question now is just, can he stay healthy?
I mean, sure, I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say they're going to be top five. So,
I did too much hype last year because I was like, this defense could be special this year. And then, like, everyone died. and then the defense was terrible by the end of the year. And so I hesitated to get too hyped. But just, yeah, looking at the pieces they have, looking at some of the young guys that you hope take a step first and then also who they're bringing back, they could be really, really good.
No, that's exciting. It's really exciting. Like, legit, I haven't – when they drafted Gary in the first round, that was kind of when I started as – like, and they had made all those signs. I just kind of sat there. I was like, ooh. Now there's not one – there's, like, four dudes. And then you're thinking, like, Kenny Clark. You're thinking Lowry. All those guys. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, you can't focus on one of them. And then they grab – and you're thinking Jair. And then they grab Savage. You're like, oh, my God. Like, this could be a defense that's legit – kind of feared, which I can't remember. I think the last time was a Super Bowl, and even then, yeah, they were running through injuries as well. So,
can do a lot with it. I think I saw this in the Football Outsiders Almanac, which, if you guys don't have the Football Outsiders Almanac, that's one of my favorite offseason purchases. They run through so much. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember the numbers, but so much was made last year in the playoffs. I think it was in the playoffs. It was the Chargers Ravens, that the Chargers went with like six defensive backs on all but one snap or something.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was this huge thing that, like, well, they're flying to the ball. They can do this. They can do that. They can mix and match just because they had that. I mean, they had, you know, Derwin James, who's a defensive back in name, but just an absolute demon everywhere. But there's so much stuff they could do with that. I think the Packers did 6 defensive backs more than any other team last year, kind of out of necessity more than anything else. But the pieces they have, I mean, it's not just the defensive backs. It's also, and we've talked a ton about, you know, Kenny Clark in the middle, and then, you know, Za'Darius Smith, Gary, all these guys you can kind of rotate down in the middle or also shoot them outside. They've got so many weird, versatile little pieces that I'm really excited to see Mike Pettine, mad scientist, just go absolutely nuts this year. Like, just the stuff he's going to be able to draw up with the versatile pieces he has, it's either going to be amazing or just, like, it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Mm-hmm. The potential is definitely there. It's just whether it's executed.
Yeah, for sure. But it should be a lot of fun to watch.
We're going to end this on do a little golf clap for the Packers GM, Gutekunst, and Russ Ball for negotiating a hell of a contract for Davante Adams. Because today, Michael Thomas of the Saints, one of their top wide receiver, agreed to a 5-year, $100 million deal with $61 million being guaranteed, which is the highest guarantee in NFL history for a non-QB offensive player. Man, and then I found this, and you find the players that are ahead of Devontae for yearly totals, and he comes in at number 11.
That's insane.
So guys ahead of him, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins.
Whew, Jarvis Landry's making more money than him. AJ Green, who's, I feel like, a super talented dude, but still has just, like, the injury bug has been killing him.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is on there. And, like, there's a couple of them that I think are legit better than Devontae, but, man, I wouldn't want to be paying some of these guys $16, $15, $17 million a year. It's insane.
Especially some of those names, man, like paying Jarvis Landry, like more than Davante Adams. That's
bonkers. Between their two wide receivers, they're paying them $33.1 million.
Oh, my God. Between
him and Odell.
Jeez.
My math's right. Yeah, $33.1. Yeah. $33.1 million for two wide receivers.
That's what you could do with the quarterback on a rookie contract, I guess.
Way to go. Well, I mean, they had everybody on, like, they had everybody on rookie contract for a long time. But yeah, kudos to Gutekunst, kudos to Russ Ball for negotiating that, and even to Devontae for probably taking a little less than he could have if you would have waited. Thank you, bud. We appreciate that. All right, closing notes. You guys got anything?
Not really.
My only thing I really have, actually, I got two things. For one, so we're recording on July 31st. It's my youngest brother's 30th birthday today. On the day we are recording. So if you listen to this on Thursday, which a lot of you will be, that was yesterday. And if you listen to this, bud, I'm actually going to see you today, so it doesn't matter. Happy birthday. He's a police officer, and he's amazing. Kind of one of my heroes. So, happy birthday to my youngest brother, now 30, which makes me feel super, super old. My last thing is just one of the other things I wanted to touch on from today, from practice today, was they said Za'Darius Smith won all 3 of his one-on-one pass rushing drills, which is insane, and also came in super, super quiet, considering the fact, I don't know if you remember this, last year, Kyler Fackrell had been with the Packers for, I think, 3 years. Last year, Kyler Fackrell won his first one-on-one drill. And you would have thought that, like, that it was the biggest news in the entire... It was this huge, huge deal that Kyler Fackrell won his first one-on-one. Za'Darius Smith, 3 for 3 today, has been ripping it up, and very, very quiet. So I just want to draw attention to the fact, Za'Darius Smith doing very good things.
Didn't he beat D-Bach, too?
He did.
Like, twice.
I can't remember if it was in the same practice. I do not remember. I just remember it was a big deal that he won one. He was, like, 1 for 53 at that point. And Za'Darius Smith, 3 for 3. Let's get excited about Za'Darius Smith. Woo. That dude could be huge for the defense this year.
No, I'm digging it. Sarah, you got anything?
No, I'm just super excited with the things that I've seen so far, and I'm pumped to get more content and just see what else is going on the next couple weeks.
Awesome. I did want to, before we finish up, just give a shout out to everybody who listens to this show, because you know, last week was our 1 year anniversary and we did our trivia competition, and we actually got three winners, and everybody replied pretty quickly to let me know, you know, that they accepted everything. And so, but we had over 50 entries for people all answering question, listening, and even one of the guys who ended up winning is lives out in Alaska and is a teacher there. And so it's just, it's kind of crazy, just the reach that we have, and the fans that we have, the people that listen to the show, like, all said such nice things about all of us and how they love the show. And so it was really cool, really cool. Thank you guys for all participating and listening, and again, continuing to support us on here. So I think that will wrap it up for us. Next week, I believe we will be previewing a preseason game.
Ah, we are.
And the fun part is that I think we actually get to preview every single preseason game, because I'm pretty sure they're all Thursdays.
I think you're right.
Yeah, they all are on Thursday.
We will have five straight previews of games going into opening night.
We're missing one, right, Steve? Me and you are missing one.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't announced it yet, but there'll be a special episode near the end of the month that Dusty and I are taking a week off, so we can, recoup, drink some whiskey, do all the good stuff, and let Sarah handle an episode with some other people.
Yeah. Next week, actually talking about preseason football, actually previewing a preseason game, it's actually here.
It's happening.
It's all happening.
And there will actually be some Madden as well. You know, I think that drops Friday, even though some people have it. I don't know how people get extra copies, but.
Yeah, aren't we big enough where we can get extra copies, Steve?
I tried once.
Did you really?
I did. It didn't work. It was worth a shot, but.
I mean, we've been trying to get, like, Oreos and stuff. So strike it out all over the place.
Right now, I'm currently working on Reese's to try to get them to put something back into production for me, but. They're not really having it.
What are you trying to put back in production?
Did you ever have the Reese's Crunchy Cookie Cup?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The one that came in the yellow package. And yeah. Basically had is a Reese's cup, and it had basically the Oreo cookie part to it.
Yeah.
Not the cream, just one of the cookies inside the chocolate. I loved those things. Those were my favorite. Those were challenging the regular Reese's as my favorite candy. And they just dropped them out of nowhere. And so I sent Reese's a direct message. I was like, all right, so like, how many retweets would it take for you guys to put this back into production, or at least have a palette for me that you could send to me? And they responded saying that they've got like the new one that has the Reese's pieces in it.
Not nearly as good. It's not the same thing.
And I just wrote back. I'm like, you know, I love you guys, and I tried that one, but you know, it's not the same.
You're like, don't try me with that.
That's the story of how Steve is blocked by Reese's now.
We'll see. We'll see. I haven't fully gone in on them yet, but I'm sure I'll throw another one, because those were like the best ever.
I kind of forgot about those. Those were really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my my project for right now, is trying to get those back into production.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah. I feel like if I need to start doing that with retweets, I feel I could hang on to the Pack a Day team and they'll all start retweeting it, and we'll get it going. We'll get it going for sure. So
yeah.
The power of the internet. I love it.
God bless it.
All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next week. And thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us all on Twitter. Dusty will break down his love of fullbacks. Sarah's got some Florida football, right?
Like with UCF stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Camp started today, so it's been busy but fun.
And I have always just nonsensical things that I put out there. So make sure to follow all of us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. And we'll catch you guys next week. As always, go Pack, go.